I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
First cut.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Valspar Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hey, Greg.
Rick, what's going on, my man? This is, I'll tell you, I'm still coming down from that round of golf yesterday. I feel like I've crashed. My emotional level was so high yesterday and I'm coming down, but I'm very pleased with the field this week at the Valspar and excited to break it down tonight.
Yeah, decent little field. We'll go through the course. We'll go through those players. We'll chat name by name, not every single name, but a lot of them. Before I do that, Greg, I have to remind everyone of two things. They need to get their one and done selection in like normal. But also for this week, the week of madness, there is a bracket pool that you can get into for the first cut. So you can compete against myself and Greg and Josh and Kyle and Mark and Pat.
Good luck.
Good luck. And everybody else for this week to claim your spot in the bracket games. So the link is in the description. We're obviously hosting it on cbssports.com. The beautiful, lovely bracket is out, Greg, and now everybody gets to show what an expert they are at college basketball.
I, this year, have watched about, 12 minutes of a college basketball game, a UConn game in my home state, and I will have just as much success this year as I do every year in the bracket. It'll take me about 8 minutes to fill out my bracket. And I think I picked the winner last year, maybe the year before too. But there was a lot of mayhem in between. Point is, when I was a Nerf basketball star, I watched almost every college basketball game and my bracket was full of red. Now I've taken I haven't watched nearly as much. I've watched a lot more golf over the past couple of years and my bracket success hasn't changed. Funny how that works.
So my understanding is that UConn is the favorite to win this whole thing. Do you feel that? Do you feel that locally, Greg? Is there a buzz about going back to back? The Huskies are going to do it.
They
just make that up, or is that a thing that they do?
I don't really know. But I love it. It's UConn has had, I didn't grow up a UConn fan. I didn't grow up in Connecticut, but they have always been such a powerhouse in college hoops. And it's, they know how to win. So I feel pretty good about them. I mean, they have championship legacy and They're the favorite going into this year, defending champs. I think they're going to do it again.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll pick them to get past Stetson, and then I'll have to think about it from there on out. The link is in the description. You can get involved and get in our little first cut bracket contest and see what you can earn in terms of bragging rights. Now, let's turn our attention to the Valspar Championship, the Copperhead Course. This week. And this is this the last leg of the Florida Swing?
Yes, the last leg of the Florida Swing.
All right. Where are we going next week? Do we know?
Yes, we're going to Houston.
Yes. Okay.
The Texas Swing.
Oh man, my brain is fried. Troy, if you want to share my screen, I've got the scorecard up here. It's a par 71, Greg. That's 36, 35. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different par threes on this golf course. We have seen it at times play rather difficult because even I think like two of these par fives, one of them plays to like a 5 scoring average and the other one's not super gettable. So there are some, you got to be pretty stout around this place.
You know, the thing about the par fives, even the ones that are reachable, is you really have to put the ball in the fairway in order to go for them in two because of the angles. This golf course is tree lined and positioning your ball off the tee is critical. Now, it's very interesting when you look at the stats. When I look at your golf course model, it favors pretty heavily strokes gained approach. And when you think back to Sam Burns and his two victories, he was making a big transformation in his iron game at that time. Paul Casey won the 2 years before that. You have an Adam Hadwin. You have a Jordan Spieth back when he was an elite iron player. John Senden, a great ball striker. It is full of great ball strikers, specifically with irons. So I understand that. I find it fascinating because when I think about this golf course, because of all the angles and because of all the dog legs and because of all the trees, you got to position your ball off the tee. Now, the other thing that's fascinating about this is scrambling is at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. So like you got to drive it well and you got to iron it well and you got to have good short game. But when I think the key and the main takeaway to this is when you drive it errantly and you, as long as you avoid the water and you end up in trees, the guys that scramble really well or create shots with iron play from, precarious situations are the guys that have a lot of success. So it's a really cool golf course to watch.
Yeah, it is. And we don't often get that combination on the model of approach play plus scrambling. It usually pops up on more difficult golf courses. I think sometimes we get it at Torrey Pines. But I mean, when you have winning scores that outside of Sam Burns going nuts for 2 years in a row are often 8, 9, 10 under par, that starts to make a lot more sense. But that's a pretty rare thing, Greg, to have both approach and scrambling, because it's not that they are divergent of one another, but it requires basically a difficult golf course for that to happen.
Right. Because if we go to just to think of one off the top of my head, TPC Craig Ranch, right? Guys can hit 60 greens there in regulation and come in fifth in greens of regulation. There's not a lot of short game opportunities, but here you can have really high end iron play and, 50 greens of regulation may be a really good week. So that leaves you a lot of opportunities, a lot of required short game shots. And again, the par fives as well. Right. When you want to make birdies on these par fives, they're not clean cut, knock it on in two with an iron in your hand. You got to, if you're out of position at all, sometimes even if you hit a great tee shot, you got to really shape the ball to get it on the green, which are well defended, and you end up with a lot of short game shots.
Yeah, if you're scrambling around TPC Craig Ranch, you should just pack your bags because you are going home.
You're going to.
All right. We are going to jump into this field and discuss each tier of the pricing. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
All right, Greg, we are back with four different golfers above $10,000. This is the cheat sheet on my website, rickrungood.com. Xander Schauffele, $11,200. Sam Burns, $10,900. Justin Thomas, $10,400. Jordan Spieth, $10,200. Oh, boy. There's some interesting things here. Elite course history from Burns. Very good history from JT coming off an ugly missed cut. I mean, what do we do here at the top?
Yeah, there's good history from Spieth as well. He's won on this golf course. But all four of these guys, there's question marks about them. I know Xander Schauffele has had an incredible season and just came in second, had a putt to force a playoff last week at the Players' Championship. But he's working so hard on his golf swing, and it felt like he did what he did last week in spite of a golf swing that he doesn't feel very confident with, which is a testament to his performance. But it does leave me wondering, and it makes this far from an auto play. That being said, what does Xander Schauffele excel in? Well, you saw it last week. He scrambled his you-know-what off. So that's a good sign. Jordan Spieth been very up and down, but has shown the ability to put together some good iron weeks. Although I probably have the most doubt with Jordan in this group because the iron play has been the worst. Where are you with Jordan?
No idea. Genuinely, no feel. I have no sense. I do not like that he 1 week is horrible on approach. Another week, he's horrible off the tee. The week after that, he can't get the short game going. Oh, by the way, 2 weeks before that, he's losing with the putt. It just feels like it's always something. I don't know. And I don't know what it's going to be. And I don't know what he's going to do well and what he's not. But I worry that he can start making a lot of squares around here.
There's when we looked at Scottie Scheffler as intently as we did over the last 3 years, there was always one lever to pull. This one area improves, all of a sudden he's going to win. With Jordan, it's not the case. It feels like he pulls one lever and another problem arises.
Right.
You know, with Justin Thomas, who I think is fascinating here, it was a disappointing miscut last week. There's no doubt about that. It was a disappointing miscut at the Genesis. Aside from those two events, it's been nothing but top 12 finishes since August of last year. The Wyndham. And what are the two areas that he excels in? If you look at Justin Thomas through the course of his career, it's iron play and it's short game. He is a shot maker. It's no surprise that he has great success here. The putter is a concern. I'm willing to look past it. So I think if I have to order these four, again, they all have questions. I probably go Sam Burns because of the course history, number one. I probably go Justin Thomas, number two, Xander Schauffele, number three, Jordan Spieth, number four.
Okay. I'm probably with you. And I would even just, I don't even know if I care between Burns or JT. Either one is fine. I'm a sucker for both of them. Burns has played three phenomenal rounds every week since the start of the year. Justin Thomas's miscut was not great at the Players, but he was elite on approach. He lost with the putter. That none of that is a surprise. He was a little worse than average off the tee and a little worse than average around the green, which I
give
a break for. That profile was absolutely in the range of outcomes for Justin Thomas, and it happened, and he missed the cut.
The tee shots, like he did this at the Arnold Palmer Invitational as well. He will hit some foul balls here and there, and it's been left specifically. If he has one or two of those this week, I feel like he can overcome it. I feel like this golf course will give him the opportunity to create from the mayhem where the Players and Bay Hill really don't. Because there's water all over the place. There's water here too, but it seems to be more side. And so I feel a little better about JT on this golf course against this field.
Here's the 9K range. Brian Harman, Cam Young, Sung J.M., Tony Finau, Nick Taylor, and Min-Woo Lee. I don't know, Greg. What do you want to do here?
Well, I think there's three guys here that I am quite interested in.
Let me guess.
Two that I'm very interested in.
Okay. I'm going to guess one of those.
Okay.
And I think we might be on the same page. My first guess is Tony Finau.
No.
Wow. Now I'm shook. Now I don't know where to go. Now Nick Taylor.
Yes. He's okay. One of the two.
Okay. And the other one would be, oh man, I'm really in a pickle because I thought it was going
to don't overthink it. You need there right there. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you say Brian Harman?
Did say Brian Harman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I worry when guys have emotional events and they're coming back the next week. It's not a hard rule. Like I don't pick the guy that won the week before. Or I don't pick defending champ guys trying to defend titles. Yeah, that it just out. Feels like, that the, yeah, well, I did pick Sky. I broke my own rule in one.
You broke both of them.
Yeah, both. Yeah. At the same time. Funny how that works. I think that rule is just gone by the wayside.
Well, two negatives equals a positive. So if you break two rules, it's okay.
Oh, right. That's like my mom always told me, two wrongs make a right.
That's right. My mother always
So here's the Brian Harman thing. What's important here? Well, iron play, scrambling specifically, and you got to get the ball in play off the tee. So the metric I was looking at for getting the ball in play off the tee is not driving accuracy. It just never comes up. It doesn't mean anything. It's not distance, but distance from the edge of the fairway, I thought would be an interesting metric. It also popped up on your model down the list a little bit. So if you look at 2023 and 2024, Brian Harman is first on the PGA Tour and first in this field in distance from the edge of the fairway. And right now we're seeing a massive uptick in his iron play. He has got to be feeling so confident right now. He won the Open Championship last year on a brilliant short game, which he's demonstrated throughout his entire career. So Brian Harman, originally I kind of just looked past it because I don't want to feel like I'm chasing, but he checks every box. And I think it's almost disrespectful that he's not in the 10K range.
It is interesting to see this quick turnaround from hemorrhaging strokes on approach in Phoenix and Riviera to what he's done when he got to Florida. It's just been a completely different, guy. And now it looks much more exciting. And yeah, I mean, I guess it feels a little bit like chasing, but at the same time, it's a significantly weaker field. He sets up well for it. I don't have any reason to think. I also don't think that Brian Harman is going to be impacted by a runner-up finish at the Players' Championship last week.
Yeah, I know. I kind of feel the same way. Like, he's going to look back at that tournament and say, well, he actually did say in a post-round press conference, I worked so hard during the week and just got a complete dud on Thursday when he shot 72. And he wiped it off, competed. He can look back at this and say, look, I played one bad round of golf. Other than that, I did everything I needed to do to win. I'm going to go win this week. So Brian Harman's my top choice in that range.
I thought you were going to get to, because you've been very clear on kind of tracking the progress of Tony Finau. And I finally...
Kind of interesting progress last week.
I finally got on board. And I was like, okay, this does look like, okay, he's putting a little bit better. Yes, he drove it poorly last week, but that is an outlier. He's hitting it well. I like the direction his game's going. That's why I thought we were on the same page with Tony.
Yeah. I just worry about his driving game here. It just doesn't feel right. And to be honest, the Players' Championship performance off the tee maybe affects me more than an outlier, which it realistically is.
He is spraying it off the tee.
That's the worry. Augusta? Now, Augusta National, on the other hand.
Oh, boy.
Place your bets. Place your bets.
We just got our, I think that's our first like Monday, like, all yeah. Right. Well, save it for Augusta.
Save it for Augusta. That's kind of where I'm feeling with Finau right now.
All right. Well, then Nick Taylor was the other guy. And this I get, right? Because Nick Taylor is, whoops, got to put a space in there. He's hitting it really well, Greg. And we've talked about the way that he has just improved his game and stayed in contention more frequently than you think. I mean, he's just become such a good player.
Yeah, he took it one four times on tour. You know, three of them since 2020. And he gets himself in the mix and competes and contends. This iron play has been absolutely elite. The one concern, the reason I think Harman is a better play than Taylor, although you could, because Harman's so strong, you could skip the 10K plus and get both of these guys in your lineup very easily. But the one area of concern is his short. He's not a short game specialist. So now his scrambling still okay, but he does a lot more of that with the putter than he does with the short game. So that's a little more concerning than it is for Brian Harman, but it's not bad. That's for sure.
The rest of this 9K range, Minwoo, I think we were expecting a little bit more from this Florida swing after the runner-up at Cognizant. It wasn't bad, but 44th and 54th at API and the Players is nothing to write home about. We're still trying to solve Sung J.M. Cam Young's putter slipping again. I mean, it is truly, you talked about question marks in the 10K range. There's some question marks here as well.
Yeah, there is. Minwoo, I'm not going to get there on Minwoo. It is a weaker field. You know, you could look at it from that angle, like more similar to Cognizant. But as far as predicting the game, I'm much more comfortable taking a chance on Cam Young because he's been hitting it so well. Take a chance on him having an average putting week, you know, maybe winning. I mean, look at what he's done with his iron play. What a start to the year. The results are just not matching up. So you don't like that, but that's your sign to get in early on a guy.
I agree, because he has even recently shown himself to be a great putter. He gained 4 strokes putting at the Cognizant. He gained 5 in Phoenix. And also we know that from his career. He just has some really bizarrely bad short game weeks sometimes. And that was kind of his whole 2023 was a pretty bad short game year. But I agree. This stat profile, this will get me by Thursday. Like, I'll convince myself that Cam Young's going to win this golf tournament.
Time to take the chance. You know, that's what it feels like. There isn't the evidence like we had with Finau, where he made a visible change. And all of a sudden, from my perspective, the thing that I thought caused the problems, he's fixing. Oh, well, I think that's causing the problem. He's fixing it. That's going to lead to better results. Doesn't always happen that way, but it did in the case of Finau. I don't know if Cam Young is doing anything to fix his putting. I'm sure he's practicing a ton, but I don't know that there's a visible change. So it's much more of just a odds game. He's not going to putt this badly forever. So when he does putt well, he's going to get that result that he's been looking for. So why not here at the Valspar?
Let's go to the 8K range, and then we'll hit the break after this, because there are guys in the 5K range. So this is Keith Mitchell, Christian Bezuidenhout, Eric Cole, Keegan Bradley, Aaron Rye. Then the bottom is Doug Gimbo, Hostler, Adam Hadwin, Maverick McNealy, and Patrick Rogers. I have one favorite. I have one I really like, and I'm pretty lukewarm on the rest. Actually, and then I've got two I really like, and then I'm lukewarm on the rest.
Okay. Are the two you really like, is one a South African and one an American?
Yes, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Doug Gim and Christian Bezuidenhout.
Let's go.
Right. I mean, look at what these guys have done.
Where do you want to start?
Let's just start with Doug Gim.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at this is not the profile of Doug Gim. It can't be. This profile doesn't belong in the $8,000 range. He's fourth on the PGA Tour in strokes gained total.
He is. So since he has gone through since the Farmers, so 5 straight top 16 since the Farmers, the last 20 rounds for everybody in the field. I looked this up earlier. I think he's second to only Xander Schauffele in this field in strokes gained total.
It's legit. And there's no lever for him to pull because everything's working. Mm-hmm. Everything is working. I'm so impressed. And you saw it last week. The stats actually panned out okay. It looks better now than it did during the week, but he did a lot of his work on and around the greens. Mm-hmm. And I know how good of a ball striker he is. So it's probably why it was a T16 and not contention, because he didn't hit it great, but
the ball
still pretty darn good.
Ball striking was the only reason he had a job for like 3 years.
Yeah. And now he's leaning, he's in the Players Championship, leaning on short game and putting.
I know.
And still hitting it okay.
It's awesome.
He's like a must here.
Here's the other one.
Yeah, Seabez.
This profile is like, I think he might win.
Well, I have a list here, and he's on it. Let me tell you that.
Okay.
Because I'm so impressed. Again, another guy. Look at what he's done on the greens with his putting. Mm-hmm. Short game seems to be turning a corner. The results aren't necessarily there. He's not the best driver of the golf ball, but That being said, he's pretty accurate.
Yeah, he's not the most inaccurate.
No, he's not. Certainly not wild.
Right.
Certainly not wild off the tee.
Right.
He's very, yes, very comparable to me to a Nick Taylor.
Okay.
I don't know if as far as style, I don't know if he's as feisty as Nick Taylor's proven to be. I don't know if he's as much, if he's got as much dog in him.
So his worst thing, the way that he drives it, is because he drives it short as opposed to inaccurate, which fine. He's turned into a great iron player. He's always had a great little short game and putting stroke. And this does line up, Greg. So I'm pretty sure, and I got to look this up. I think he's working with Jeff Smith now, but don't quote me on that. But he did get a new coach basically in 2024. And the approach numbers are stat. He gained 7 strokes at the Players Championship.
Yeah, at the Players.
It's pretty good.
Approaching the green. I mean, it's impressive. And that's not getting past me. So he is absolutely on my list this week.
Okay. Then the third one was just my weekly shout out to Maverick McNealy. Though I do worry that, I mean, he was carried. He literally had one of the best. He had the best around the green week of anybody in 2024 and the second best of anybody since the start of 2023 last week. So I'm expecting regression, but he's been playing well. This is a weaker field. I'm not ready to give up on him just yet because of that. So this is just me being a 7 out of 10 instead of a 10 out of 10.
The thing is, he does that all the time. Like, that's not he had a crazy short game week. Like, he always has a crazy short game week. He leans on a short game in his putting. That's what Maverick McNealy does. The way he's been driving it, I'm right there with you. Probably a 7 out of 10 because I think there is regression. His iron play is just, compared to the rest of his game, it's awful.
Yeah, it's stinky.
The rest of his game is top tier, at least this year. So he's really impressed me. I don't think iron play is one of those things that you're just going to figure out. Like, if he has a good approach week, that doesn't happen very often. So I'm not really leaning on that going up, but because it's a difficult enough golf course and guys can lean on their short games here, I don't think he's a bad play at all.
Was there anybody else in this 8K range that you thought was worth consideration?
I don't like it, but I like the profile, and it'd be Aaron Rye.
He's another guy that I find myself,
just generally lukewarm on the time.
Or like stepping on the rake and getting smacked in the face like a car. Like I look at his problem, like, oh, Aaron Rye, T35. Or like, I never get what I want from him.
It feels like the ceiling is top 20.
The ceiling is the floor. They're like identical.
Right. Which, something to be said for that, but at 8,500, it feels like it's a little too high. But it's a good profile. It's a nice profile. He's accurate off the tee too. His game seems to fit.
Yeah, he always models very well for me as well. What's wrong with Keegan? Why hasn't Keegan been better?
I don't think there's anything wrong with him. He lost 7 strokes putting at the Players. That's probably a rarity. I just don't think he's clicking on all cylinders.
He's too good to be amongst these other guys. I say what's wrong with Keegan out of love, because I think he's way better than a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's a glaring problem going on with him. I just don't think it's put together, and he will put it together. He'll pop up and contend and win. It's not sharp. It's not a bad profile. It's just not clicking.
He's going to be like 5% owned this week because he was 5% owned last week. He missed the cut. He lost 7 strokes putting. He hasn't had, I mean, his last really good finish was Sony.
I'll give, I mean, he finished T11 at Pebble Beach, but the way that that played out, nobody even remembers that. I can find myself getting to Keegan.
He has a second place finish here.
I just think he's too good.
That would be a game theory play.
100%.
Because do you think Doug Gim is going to suck up a lot of ownership?
Yeah, I do. I think Gim and Bazinga.
The industry is getting too smart.
Yeah. Listen,
they're not finishes. Like Brian Harman finished second. You watched him last week on the cover. You didn't watch Christian Bezuidenhout out on the coverage.
Yeah.
You saw Doug Gim chip. Yeah. You saw his chip in.
He had like the one of the top three shots of the week.
Yeah.
It was played everywhere.
Right. So that'll put some attention on Doug Gim.
Yeah. Exactly.
Too bad.
We're going to continue this conversation into the value ranges, $7,000, $6,000, $5,000. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. A relatively small $7,000 range. Sepp Straka, Taylor Moore at the top. Taylor Moore defending champion here. We get a couple guys in the middle like Taylor Montgomery, Billy Horschel. Daniel Berger back in this field. He's $7,200. Then we round this thing out at the bottom. Akshay Bhatia, Davis Thompson, a couple others along the way. So, Greg, this to me is there's a lot of known entities. Like we kind of know what Andrew Putnam is. We know what Sepp Straka is. We even know what Taylor Moore is at this point. Billy Horschel. I think there's a lot of unknown in Thorbjørn Olesen. There's a lot of unknown, even in the current state of Lucas Glover. There's a lot of unknown in Daniel Berger. I think there's just a lot happening here.
I do not like this range.
Okay.
Right. I there's not a single play that I feel really good about. So I kind of took a wide view in some instances and a very narrow view in other instances. Let's go narrow first. Sam Ryder. He made 27 birdies last week.
Led the field, didn't he?
Led the field. Set a record. More birdies than Rory McIlroy last week. That will give you a ton of confidence.
Okay. I like that.
And his iron play has been fine. He's putted really well the last couple weeks in Florida. The finishes have been fine. He's got a T21 and a T16. And you're coming off 27 birdies. You're going with a hot hand. And I think compared to everybody else in this range, it's a worthy play. He also finished tied 19th here last year. I could get to Sam Ryder.
This is such a good example of this stat profile. This is exactly how I feel about Sam Ryder. This flat but wide approach plus putting, which is 100% true for Sam Ryder. And it's the reason that he misses cuts and then finishes 10th or is in the mix at Torrey or is in the mix at whatever, right? Because when those things work, he makes a ton of birdies and plays well. And when those don't work, he misses the cut. That is like the perfect visual representation for Sam.
Yeah, it's a good point. Because if all of a sudden he's driving it into places where he can't lean on his iron play, there's no momentum gathered. Correct. But if he's able to club down off the tee a little bit, like last week, get some short irons and wedges in there. He could fill it up with anybody.
Correct.
I think taking the hot hand here is definitely a worthy play.
Hot hands, confident, back-to-back top 25s. That's the short view.
Yeah. Long view. I don't like these at all, but I like them more than my other options. So Lucas Glover and Brendan Todd.
Yikes.
I know, Rick, you love that. Lucas Glover, extremely accurate off the tee. And a very good iron player. And his short game has been pretty good. Pretty good lately. He hasn't made any putts, but he's not yipping it. And I think that's enough to get on board with, partially. You hate it.
He is very accurate off the tee, and he's a great ball striker. I am just so worried that even after, because you're right, he's not yipping it. Even after the magical putting change that has fixed his yips, he still can't putt.
There are bad putters who don't yip it.
I'm now trying to figure out how he finishes inside the top 35, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to have to putt so far, so much better than anything that we have seen outside of four of his last 200 starts, right? Like, he's got like 196 bad putting performances, four good ones, two of them were wins back to back.
Yeah, we're rolling the dice.
I will say, okay, in defense of him, he has been basically a zero putter in two of the last 3 weeks. Close enough.
It's not bad. And if we didn't have the history, I know I said this is the wide view, but if he didn't have the history of Lucas Glover, there may be a little bit of hope that there's a good putting week coming.
And wide view, he's like the third best ball striker in this field.
Oh yeah, maybe on tour.
Yeah.
So if you're uncomfortable and you don't know where to go in this range, and Sam Ryder is taking all of the ownership here, you could pivot to Lucas Glover. Like, he could win. He could win here. Very unlikely. It's a very small chance, but he could. So,
Brendan Todd, I mean, can we combine these guys? Can we combine?
Gosh, Brendan Todd just hasn't been hitting it well, but he's capable of hitting it well. The concerning thing about Brendan Todd is the players, I would expect him to perform better there. Like, I would consider the players a golf course that Brendan Todd's deficiency, he can handle. The Arnold Palmer Invitational, I would say, with his deficiency, he cannot handle. Yet he came in tied sixth at the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yeah.
You know, it has missed the cut at the Cognizant and the Players. So it's kind of backwards land. But
I would like this if I knew. If you told me right now the winning score was going to be 9 under, I'd like Brendan Todd a lot more.
There's a possibility of that.
And it might be.
Right. I mean, it doesn't get to 20. You know, you see 9 under quite a bit.
Yeah.
See 14 under quite a bit.
Yeah.
So do you like anybody in this range?
Not really. Yeah. As much as I was like, your guys stink, I don't have anybody better. So <Yeah. laughs> no, I don't. I mean, what do we... I would play, I mean, Thorbjørn has really good longer term, like DP World Tour numbers, but hasn't always translated here on the PGA Tour. And what do we do with Daniel Berger? Because if you want the wide view, now this is a very wide view. Daniel Berger is easily one of the top five players in this field, but we have just not gotten really anything from him.
I make so much sense, Rick, but I have a hard time get. He missed the cut in Puerto Rico.
I know, but it was just one bad round.
Yeah, I know. It's just hard for me to get over that.
Yeah, you can't miss the cut in Puerto Rico, dude. He was like the, I don't know if he was the favorite, but he was the biggest name. You can't miss the cut in Puerto Rico.
You missed the cut at the at the Cognizant. That happened. I get that. You can tell me there's one bad round there. Not Puerto Rico.
Yeah, man. That's
so it's a flyer. But hey, I mean, so is Brendan Todd and Lucas Glover. They're a bit of flyers too.
Hate this range.
Me too.
6,000. Skip it. Jimmy Stanger, Kevin Yu, Victor Perez at the top. The middle includes KH Lee, Matt Kuchar, Matt Neesmith. The bottom, that'll get you Matty Schmidt. That'll get you Michael Kim, maybe a little bit of Vince Whaley. Anything better down here, Greg?
Well, you got better value. You know, so you feel a little bit better about it. So a couple guys that I'm interested in. Joel Damon played great golf last week. He played phenomenal last week. And what is he priced at?
6,800.
Okay, so he's up top. There he is. So Joel Damon definitely makes sense to me. I think his game could fit this golf course. He's made the cut three times here, tends to hit it well here and putt poorly here, which is what he's been doing. But tied 11th at the Players' Championship, he gained 9 strokes ball striking. I like that. And it's a pretty good price on him. Andrew Novak.
Yep.
Right. Let's go back to the well on Andrew Novak.
You got
to
give him one more chance here, right? I mean, he had the 3 straight top tens in which he was knocking the cover off the ball, misses the cut at the Players. I don't really care about that. And also, he's going to get like a much weaker field this week. Like, Andrew Novak gets one more crack at this.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And if you see another bad ball striking performance, then we say, okay, there was a hot streak.
Yeah, who cares? We'll catch up with him later.
But I don't believe that right now. I believe that the Players was a bad week, and he's a good iron player. So I'm going back in.
You know who was Novak before Novak?
No.
Matt Neesmith.
Yeah.
Good ball striker who gets hot for 3 or 4 starts in a row.
Yeah.
He's 26 at the Players last week, and I'm pretty sure he's got a decent little run here as well, 3rd and 21st.
It's pretty good. And what's he priced at?
He is actually cheaper. He is 6,500.
Yeah, he's 65. You know, I always really liked Matthew Neesmith, and I thought that he was going to turn into what Tom Hoagie turned into. Like, I had those guys as it was either or for me. And Hoagie really accelerated. Neesmith hasn't yet. And so I've kind of gotten off of him in general. But I don't hate it.
Bud Cauley, who would beat you by 40 shots, is $6,400.
Not a bad play here, in all seriousness.
He's back for the first time in a long time.
He's healthy. He played well in Phoenix. I mean, he's played good golf when he's been back out on the PGA Tour.
Played top 25 at Cognizant.
Yeah, played really well. Now, that's a hometown event. He did have the lead at one point, but I got to imagine that gives him a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think this suits his game.
Just getting reps under his belt. He's played 16 rounds in 2024. 8 on the Korn Ferry, 8 on the PGA. Hasn't missed a cut. Started to put it together. I mean, the upside in the talent is massive, and he is $6,400. I would much rather have him than Garrick Higgo or Davis Riley, who are both $6,400.
Yeah. You know, his game is perfect for this golf course. Wide view. I think he's pretty close to that wide view lens of Bud Cauley. He's a great chipper of the ball. Really, really good around the greens too. And really straight with his ball striking. That's how you beat me by 40. So I had Bud Cauley on my list. You know who else I had? I want to get your thoughts on this. A little more expensive, $6,600. Lee Hodges.
Yeah. I was looking at him a little bit earlier.
Let's T12 at the API, T35 at the Players. Putting well, maybe doing a little too much on the greens.
I'm generally okay with this. You know, he has gotten into, I think it's interesting when these guys are, you know, like he's in every event, he's in every signature event, and he's got some decent results, right? I mean, the last three signature events he's played were 24th, 12th, and 35th. Now, this should be the type of event that he is licking his chops at, right? No Scottie Scheffler. I don't have to deal with Rory McIlroy. Like, let me finally improve this T12 or T24 to a T3 or a win or whatever that might be. So,
yeah, like I have a chance this week.
Right.
I mean, remember, he dominated the 3M Open. And it's not too dissimilar. Like, you got to keep the ball in play at both these golf courses. You got to excel with your iron play, both these golf courses. And I feel like he's got a good thing going with the putter.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's a good one. He is. What was the price? 66.
66. Yeah. And he's won, which I like. All right. Other guy. I like Matty Schmid. I like what I saw last week.
He was in it until he must have had a pretty bad Sunday, right? Because the rest of it, he was like
maybe late Saturday. What late Saturday start to get him?
Saturday, I think, started to get him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay.
Rolls it well with that big long putter.
Interesting style with that. Kind of like a non-anchored belly putter, but broomstick grip. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he rolls it well. And he's coming off a T10 in Puerto Rico and a good performance at the Players. Yeah. That's enough for me to get on board at $6,000.
Yeah, he's confident right now. $5,000 range. The top is Aaron Wise, who's back in action. Ben Coles, Parker Cootie. The middle would be Ramey, Chandler Phillips, David Skins, and the min-priced golfers for this week. Oh, Kevin Kisner coming out of the broadcast booth to get back on the golf course. Brant Snedeker, Ben Taylor.
Not a lot to like here. I think there are three guys I'd consider playing. I don't think you have to go this low. There's a lot of ways to avoid this range. But I think Parker Cootie, Jacob Bridgman, and Echevarria are options.
Yeah, Cootie, he did what he had to do it. Remember, he was like $6,100 or whatever it was. Very
at T47.
Yes, and did exactly, just get through the cut, do exactly what you need to do. Bridgman is $5,900, 28th at Cognizant. He is a approach putter guy. And who is the
third? I like
Nico Echevarria, who I played last week, and he started off okay, and then kind of things got a little bit loose for him, but I still like the way he's trending.
Big event for him. I think he's gotten a whole lot better. He's way down. Where is he? Like 54 or something?
57.
Oh, okay. Not that low. But still, I think trending in the right direction. T24 in Mexico, T21 at the Cognizant, T15 in Puerto Rico, miscut at the Players. I like the trend.
How can Justin Suh be this cheap in this field? Because he's missed four straight cuts, including Puerto Rico?
Yeah, he just hasn't been very good.
How did this happen? He was on a good run.
I know.
The end of the season got him. He wanted that season to continue.
Yeah. Turn the corner with, you know, you got bright eyes sometimes, and golf is hard.
His 2024 has been miserable.
Yeah. That's how you get that low. They know what they're doing at DraftKings.
That's surprising to me.
Look at his plot, by the way.
I know. Just
like, that's the, he's better than that.
Yeah, it's not great. That's not great. Okay.
It's hard.
Anybody else?
No. That range is tough. The 5 and 7K range is tough.
It's like we got to get out of the trenches, man. That's like scary stuff in there. Okay. Yeah. This week for Tuesday, we'll do our mega preview pod, storylines, best bets, one and done, then round by round recaps Thursday through Sunday. Get those brackets in and get your one and done selections in. Links for all of that fun stuff is in the description. Now, I like always, the March Madness starts on Thursday, but when are the play-in games? Probably tomorrow, right?
I believe, yeah, or Wednesday.
Oh, maybe they're Wednesday.
I'm the wrong guy to ask, though.
I mean, probably
tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then you either play Thursday or Friday.
That's exactly right. Tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, learn something new every day, Greg.
Yeah. Get your brackets in. I got homework to do tonight.
Yeah. Get your brackets in. All right. We'll be back Tuesday and then Thursday through the end of the week. Big thanks, producer Troy. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's Greg Ducharme. You can find him at The Real GFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.